In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's cut to the chase. No games, no jokes, no anecdotes. This gospel lesson should cause us some fear. A rich man, not worthy of being named, dies and finds himself in the torment of Hades, while a sore-covered beggar is carried by angels to Abraham's side. Verse 25 tells us that the rich man had good things in this life, while Lazarus had bad things. And at the end of the day, we have to look at ourselves and our 21st century creature comforts and say, I'm a lot closer to that rich man than I am to Lazarus. I don't sit in the dust all day long starving while dogs lick my open sores. So it's easy to look at this text and draw the conclusion that the rich go to hell and the poor go to heaven. But this is not entirely the case. Our last few weeks of gospel lessons have warned us about loving money more than God. But this text does not serve as a crescendo. Christ is not condemning all the affluent to eternal torment. How do we know this? Because there is a third person present in this narrative, Abraham. The Old Testament patriarch, Father Abraham, was a wealthy man. In all likelihood, he was more wealthy than this purple-clad rich man. In fact, in Genesis 14, we read that Abraham was rich enough to have his own militia, over 300 men. So, if it's not the bank account that separates Abraham and Lazarus from the nameless Mr. Moneybags, what is it that separates Lazarus in comfort from the rich man in torment? Our first response may be to say, mercy. After all, the rich man ignored Lazarus all his life, and even now demands that Lazarus come and serve him in his torment. This is true to an extent, because the rich man did not love his neighbor as himself. He did not show compassion and generosity on the poor man. So, is it a righteous and merciful life that separates these men from each other? Perhaps, because we know that the rich man was not merciful. But on the other hand, we know nothing about Lazarus's life. So, once again, we turn to Abraham. Was Abraham righteous and merciful? If we are righteous and merciful enough, will we avoid the fiery torment? Well, in all truth, Abraham is not present in heaven because of his own righteousness and mercy. In fact, from our study of Genesis, we know that Abraham was far from righteous. Twice, he lied about his wife and handed her over to other men in order to protect himself. He even had a child with his servant girl because he doubted God's promise of a son through Sarah, his wife. So the more we look at these two men, Abraham and his rich descendant, the more alike they seem. And worse yet, the more we look at them, the more we see ourselves. For so often, we are merciless and selfish like the rich man in torment. We make excuses to avoid helping those in need. We might critique or slander their motives without knowing them, but hardly ever offer tangible help. How unmerciful we can be. Looking then to Abraham, we too can see our gross immoral behavior And we know from God's word that our actions, thoughts, and words are evil, just like his. So what is it that forms this great chasm between comfort and torment, Abraham and the rich man? The answer is faith and mercy, but not the mercy of Abraham, Lazarus, or the rich man. It is the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, who speaks these words to us in the gospel. For at this point in the gospel, Jesus is marching towards Jerusalem for the last time. The whippings, the nails, the cross, death awaits him, and he knows it. And he knows that it is for Abraham, it is for Lazarus, it is even for the rich man. It is for you and for me that he goes to his passion. And this is the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, that out of his own love for us, he would take our place and die for our sins. And so that is what he does. And then he even conquers death through his resurrection, that we might be raised on the last day and live with him forever. Now, you are probably wondering, if mercy is extended even to the rich man in torment, why is he in torment? And what do I have to look forward to? Comfort or torment? The difference is faith. Yes, the mercy of Christ covers all sin. But the difference we see is that the presence of Abraham in heaven, despite all of his sinfulness, proves that it is by grace alone, through faith. For our two named men, Abraham and Lazarus, God has given them, by grace, the faith that comes through the Holy Spirit. For all of Abraham's faults recorded in Holy Scripture, his presence in heaven can only mean one thing. By the grace of God, he believed the promise of God that all nations would be blessed through his one seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same cannot be said of the rich man in torment. But what about Lazarus? What did he believe? All we know from our text is that he sits outside the rich man's gate, starving all day long, and the only compassion he receives is from filthy street dogs. However, there is one more thing we know. It's an often overlooked fact, but it makes all the difference in the world. You see, unlike the anonymous rich man, the beggar has a name written in eternity. During their lives, the rich man might have known Lazarus' name, only to call upon him for service. But of the two men, only Lazarus has his name called by our Lord for eternal comfort and healing. And if we dig even deeper, I think there is something significant about the name Lazarus. In fact, that very name illustrates the purpose of this narrative. The name Lazarus means, "My God is help." What a faith-filled name to have. It's as if his name declares, "O rich man, you may spurn me, you may ignore me, but my God is help. My God is love. My God is mercy. My God has come as a man to die for my sins and rises from the dead to bless me with eternal riches." It is as our psalm says, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God." It is not about his wealth or his righteousness, but the help of God. You and I and the rich man may try to rely on our riches. And when that fails, we may try to rely on our righteousness. But in the end, we will be left with nothing but the great confession embodied in Lazarus's name. My God is help. My God is the help that takes destitute sinners, covered in sores of unrighteousness, seated in the mire of this sinful world, and raises them on angels' wings to the communion of saints in heaven. Now, there is one final facet of this gospel lesson that is worth discussing. This facet lies behind the very faith and mercy that separates these two men. This most interesting facet is the dialogue between father and son. For three times, the rich man calls Abraham father. And Abraham even responds by calling him child. So after the rich man commands his rich father to send Lazarus like a slave to quench his torment, these two men begin to discuss the very core of the faith that now separates them. The rich son no longer commands Father Abraham because the rich man has been made a beggar. Hear what he says. I beg you, Father Abraham, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they come into this place of torment. Perhaps we can relate to the rich man's concern for his relatives. Yet we must also affirm the truth of Abraham's words. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. How true it is. Even the Torah of Moses and the prophetic books of the Old Testament declare that we repent of our sin and with faithful hearts receive the mercy of God offered to us in Christ Jesus. That is the core of the faith that separates these two men. Repentance of sin and faith in God's mercy. Yet the rich man knows that his family will reject the testimony of Holy Scripture, because that is what he did too. So with the desperation of a brother in torment, he cries out to Abraham, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Repent. The rich man now knows what Martin Luther proclaimed, that the life of a Christian is to be the life of repentance of sin and faith in God's mercy. Yet Abraham knows that there will be no repentance and there will be no belief in the resurrection of the dead if you deny the Word of God. Now the great blessing for us in this intricate dialogue is that we who hear it are on this side of death. We have the testimony of Moses and the prophets in the Old Testament. Even more, we have the testimony of the apostles in the New Testament. They witnessed the fulfillment of Moses and the prophets. So what Jesus is teaching to them in Luke 16 also applies to us and our generation, because we too have the Bible, God's written word. It is being read out loud, preached and taught. It's posted on the internet and read on the radio and television. It's even left in motel rooms and translated into over 2,000 languages. If people refuse to believe the written word of God, they will not be given some miracle on demand to satisfy their curiosity. For the scriptures are written that they might believe, and that in believing they might have life in his name. Thus we have the testimony of the one who has risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. In fact, that is the great and terrible irony of Jesus' narrative. As he speaks it, he knows that he will rise from the dead, and that some who claim to be disciples of Moses and the prophets will still reject him. Yet there remains a remnant, the church, The Church of God has received more than a finger dipped in water to quench our thirst. Rather, we have received a baptism, a deluge, a drenching in water with the Word of God that cleanses us from sin and recreates us in the one true faith, the faith that flows from repentance. So if the one true faith flows from repentance, then blessed are you when you look in the mirror of God's Word and see a sinner. Blessed are you when guilt and shame seize your flesh like an open sore. For at that moment, you become the beggar. Though you live in comfortable earthly goods and riches, you are made a beggar by the law of God. And through this despair, we cry out in repentance, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And faith ensues. For the testimony of Moses, the prophets, and the merciful one who has risen from the dead is this: blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. For angels will bear him to Abraham's side. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all human understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.